Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes, hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in.
A pleasant good morning to you. It is Wednesday, 21 July 2021. How time really, really flies. We are almost getting into August, and some of us are looking forward to August Monday. I always say that's the last holiday stretch until Independence Time. So I myself, I'm looking forward to August Monday holiday too, a time when you can rest and maybe go somewhere and just have some fun. It's a pleasure being with you this morning for yet another episode of Health Vibes. I'm your host, Carlton Lando. And this morning I have some amazing news for you, because from tomorrow, Thursday, our customer appreciation weekend celebration begins. And so Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we are bringing 3 days of customer appreciation to you. It's a time when we just really celebrate you, celebrate your existence and presence and support to the brand Jolly's Pharmacy. It's a time when we, you know, give back to you. Give back in kind, give back in keeping some dollars in your pocket, give back in whatever way that we can. We are planning to do so. So tomorrow, Thursday, we are having a special episode of Cardio Jam, and that is happening at Focally at the Jolly's Megastore in the Yard. We will be having the Signal Band with us tomorrow. As you know, the lead vocalist of the Signal Band is our brand ambassador, and so we've collaborated with the band, and we will be having a hype Cardio Jam. I suspect one of my guests will be there tomorrow to have some fun at the Cardio Jam. And if you do not know what the Cardio Jam is, it is an aerobics exercise, but it's like a dance exercise. So music is played, you're dancing, you're following the instructor. I know Dr. Jolly always takes part in that. She really looks forward to that every time we have an episode. And so I expect to see her there. And she might bring a few friends too with her at that special edition. It begins at 5 o'clock. That is tomorrow, if God spares. Tomorrow, Thursday, beginning at 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. It is 1 power hour of dance exercise, and you know the Signal Band always spice up things with clean lyrics, good content, and of course compulsion rhythm. And so we expect to have a great time at tomorrow's episode of Cardio Jam. So if you're leaving home tomorrow morning, even this evening, start packing your bag, put your exercise gear in your working bag, your sneaker, everything, so you don't have no excuse and say, oh boy, I forgot my stuff. So you walk with that. From tomorrow as well until Saturday, so that is 23rd and 24th of July, we're having free gym registration. As you know, we have we're the owners of Fitness University Gym in Roseau. It's the largest gym here in Roseau. And we are giving you a chance to register for free. So we are waiving that $25 registration fee that you would generally have to pay in order to become a member. And that only is from tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So 3 days that we've given to you, where we've waived that $25 registration fee. And that is one of the ways that we are lending our support as we celebrate you in this year's customer appreciation period. We are also having tomorrow, Thursday, double point Thursday. So, you know, most of you have your prestige card, and when you do make a purchase, to every, you know, dollar, you get points accumulated. So if you spent, let's say $50, your points doubles only tomorrow, Thursday. So it's not going to happen on Friday and on Saturday. That is only for tomorrow. So tomorrow we're having double points Thursday. And that is get double points on your loyalty cards when you make purchases tomorrow, Thursday. And that is all branches. However, that does not apply to the wholesale department. So I just want you to know that in the wholesale department and the Prestige card, we do not utilize that service or offer that service in the wholesale department. As you would expect, you're already getting discounts in the wholesale. And so you don't get points accumulated in the wholesale department. But all the other departments that are retail, you will get your points there as well. We also have promotions on the Brinto oil. It is one of the vegetable oils that we are the agents for. You get up to 60% off. That is on the Brinto oil. That is available too. We have wholesale deals on our splash drinks. Get up to 25% off. So it's a lot of promotional services that are going to be happening this coming Customer Appreciation Weekend. I call it the weekend because it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. On Thursday of this week as well, tomorrow, we're having a bone density clinic at King George V Street Branch. So for persons who are at the age 50 years and above, you want to know how at risk you are to osteoporosis, osteomalacia, where your skin, your bones brittles, your bones soften. You want to know how at risk you are to that. You can do a bone density test at on Thursday, and that begins from 9 to 12. And that is on the branch or at the branch that is close to the Point Michel bus stop or to the old market. We also have the Megaland Fun and Frolic Day for our children, and that's happening again at the Mega Store in Fokoli, Bongs and Castle, face painting, popcorns, ice cream, sweets, you know, just name it. Everything that would make children happy, we are having that period of time with them from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, 12 p.m. to 3 o'clock, to 3 p.m. Moon News is going to be carrying that live. Bring your children. It's summertime. Really let them have some fun. Socialize with other children, their age group, and be in a safe, comfortable environment. And so we have in the Megaland Children's Fun and Frolic Day, Saturday, that is, Saturday, July 24, from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as well, we also having free shipment. So if you're in China, if you're in Hong Kong, if you're in England, if you're in Canada, and it's now you want to really buy some products from Jolly's Online, we've waived the shipping fee. And so shipping is absolutely free, but that is only for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So we've waived all fees to do with shipping. We are actually absorbing that cost, and we will ship your products directly to your destination free of cost. All right. We also having on Thursday tomorrow a skincare clinic, and that is going to be happening at the Mega Store. So we have two clinics tomorrow. We have a bone density clinic right at the King George V Street branch. And then we have a skincare clinic at the Mega branch. So whichever clinic that you recognize, you might be suffering with acne, you might be suffering with some, you know, seborrheic dermatitis, you may have, you know, tinea verrucolea, you may have something that is of concern to you that's on your face. A doctor will be there and will be offering that skincare clinic assessment. So we are doing all of this for you as we celebrate this weekend of our customer appreciation time this year at Jolly's Pharmacy. On Sunday, if God spares, we are all as a staff going to be celebrating Mass in St. Joseph. And at this time, we truly want to express our sympathies and condolences to the parish of St. Joseph in the loss of Father Jackie, a well-respected, loved priest. I think he was extremely loved, and I think it was a huge blow for all of us, on Monday afternoon hearing of his sudden death. But knowing who Father Jackie was and his charisma, I know that he would want the Mass to go on, and he would want the Mass to be very lively. And so we intend to have a good service in St. Joseph. We'll be doing some donations there. And then shortly after the service, we will be unveiling one of the streets in honor of our former managing director, Anderson Jolly, who was also a resident, grew up in St. Joseph. The Jolly's family is from St. Joseph, and so that street will be named in his honor. And I really want to take that opportunity as well to thank the village council chairman and the executive for really giving us that privilege to name that street after Anderson Jolly, and to also adopt one of the bus stops in St. Joseph. So those of you who might be passing on the highway, you would have seen that one of the bus stops there have begun looking totally different. It's because we have rehabilitated it, and we have adopted that bus stop, and we'll take care of it. And so we really want to thank the village council for supporting us and for giving us the head on the permission to do these two community projects. So today we do have a very interesting show for you. We will be talking about gestational diabetes. So for the women who are pregnant, women who may be diabetic and is trying to be pregnant or want to have a child, and your concern as to how does my condition, my diabetes condition, how is it going to affect my baby? Will it affect my baby? Will it affect me? Will my sugar, elevate as the baby grows? What will, be some of the concerns that I may have and I may need clarification? We have two experts in the house, two medical doctors, one that is trained in diabetes management, the other who is an OBGYN obstetrician gynecologist. And so she understands the whole process of the baby growing inside of you, what goes on in your body. And at the same time, she understands your female reproductive organs, what's happening there, the whole endocrine system and hormones and all of that. And so today is a great time. If you're pregnant and you may be diagnosed with gestational diabetes, it's a good time to really call, ask questions, get the answers that you're looking for. And if you are diabetic, or you may have had a pre-diabetic reading, some time ago, and you are, expecting, or you are planning to get pregnant, it's a great show that you really want to listen. So today we have Dr. Lisa Jolly, well-known name, doctor here on Dominica. A lot of diabetics do access her clinic because it's one of her areas of keen interest, and she's been trained to manage diabetes and its complications. And we also have with us today Dr. Karen Robinson, who is a licensed obstetrician gynecologist, both here in Dominica and in the United States. And so we truly want to welcome these two doctors to the studios of QFM as we discuss gestational diabetes. I will be leaving for the rest of the show because I have some pressing matters to deal with. But Dr. Lisa Jolly will be taking on, the role as co-host today. But at the same time, too, she will be contributing to the discussion. She will give you the numbers as we go along. And again, feel free to participate and ask questions as it relates to the specific topic. And so I leave you in good hands with Dr. Lisa Jolly and Dr. Karen Robinson. So take care, everybody. I will be with you hopefully on Friday. I'm not leaving. The show is not ending. I'm just passing the baton to Lisa Jolly, Dr. Lisa Jolly, who is going to take the show until it's finished. Take care, everybody. Have a good morning.
Feeling real stink. I had temptations to call in sick, but I end up in Jolly's pharmacy. Great and don't think I should. Jolly's fixed up my immune system. Got me feeling fit and strong. Now I'm ready to work and take on any mission. If you see me walking, Jolly's pharmacy is number one. Jolly's walking. We cater for everyone. Jolly's walking. Boost up your immune system. Jolly's walking. By Father Fox, whenever I'm in town and I'm feeling down, I head to Jolly's Pharmacy. They boost me up real quick. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy, brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Visit the line. Jollys.dm. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in.
So good morning to all listeners. My name is Dr. Lisa Jolly, and I'm co-hosting the show today with Dr. Karen Robinson. So we're sorry that Carlton had to leave, but we have a packed show today. Today we've decided to talk about gestational diabetes or diabetes in pregnancy. And we just thought it would be a good combination because it's a common problem that our obstetricians and gynecologists see here. It's I would think that it's one of the more common complications in pregnancy. And so it's a hot topic, I think, that we ought to talk about. So I am we're excited today about the show. I think there's a lot that ties in terms of what's even going on in terms of customer appreciation weekend. There's the cardio jam tomorrow as well, so I plan on attending. So if anybody is able to keep up with me, I hope that they will show up. So today we decided to talk about diabetes in pregnancy and gestational diabetes because it's an increasing problem, but also it's something that I anticipate we'll see a lot more of in the future. It's also associated with a lot of complications, not only for the baby, but also for the mom. And there's a lot that we can do to prevent it or to address it and to address those complications. And so we'll go through a little bit of the information, but we would welcome callers. And so if you want to call, local numbers include 449-3095. 449-3096, and if you're calling from overseas, it's 305-432-3096. 9624. And other local numbers include 616-4257. And so if you have any questions, you are please feel free to call. But if you know anybody who is diabetic and plans to become pregnant or is currently pregnant, then this is really a good show for them to listen to. So I am ably assisted in my duty by Dr. Karen Robinson, who is a pretty good obstetrician and gynecologist, and knowledgeable as well. So, Dr. Robinson.
Hello, good day. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm excited. So why is gestational diabetes important? And should we be concerned about it in the Caribbean?
Well, it's a disease, disorder, a disease state mm-hmm. that is quite prevalent in the Caribbean. And with regards to the numbers are expected to continue to increase just in general. This is not pregnancy, just in general.
Okay.
To a significant amount. For example, millions in the Caribbean and Latin America are diagnosed and have been diagnosed with diabetes or pre-diabetes. And there are certain explanations for that, risk factors and some unknown factors. And it affects fetal and maternal health. So okay. definitely a situation, a disease that needs to be addressed and dealt with.
So I think one of the important things about addressing gestational diabetes is actually talking about it even before it arises. I believe one of the things that has to be addressed actually is even weight and health, even before a woman decides to get pregnant. So what are your recommendations as far as that? Even before they get pregnant, if they are thinking about that, what are some of the things they ought to think about or do in order to prevent just diabetes in pregnancy?
Okay. Well, as you know, Dr. Jolly, I can't quite keep up with you exercise-wise.
Okay. Yeah.
That is one of the main things that we need to do mm-hmm. as a society, increase the amount of activity that we do. And I know with a lot of business, we're always busy doing things because that's where our lives are right now. There's lots that you have to do during the day, lots you have to accomplish, your work environment, your home has to be taken care of. But the type of activity I am referring to is dedicated activity to increasing your cardiovascular rate and really contributing to better health.
So is if
that's
I
one thing yes.
if I you know I go to work and I have to go up and downstairs and just the usual activity that you do at work or during your day, is that enough?
Sometimes it may not be sufficient. So there are things that you can do to modify your level of activity. So every one of us needs to evaluate how much we're getting. Is your heart rate going up? Mm-hmm. Is it going up to a sustained level for a particular amount of time? And it does not have to be, it could be in short bursts. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you're sitting at a desk and you have stairs in your building, you may want to take a 5-minute break and go up and down those stairs and give yourself a workout. That adds to your level of activity. So it does not necessarily have to be continuous, mm-hmm. but eventually it should add up to 30 to an hour.
Okay.
Okay. 30 minutes to an hour, that is.
30 minutes. 30 minutes to an hour. Okay, that's good. So I'll get up from my chair a little more often.
Yeah.
Oh, one of the other concerns that I see, young women, sometimes they have diabetes. Unfortunately, what we're seeing now is that the age at which adults develop diabetes is becoming younger and younger. So, in medical school, it was something we spoke about that happened in your 40s or 50s. Now we're seeing folks in their 20s and 30s, which is still the childbearing age, who develop diabetes. Either we have no control over type 1 diabetes, but we're seeing an increased number of 20 and 30-year-olds who are developing type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, so that's the next factor, right?
Uh-huh.
Which is obesity.
Yes.
is a significant factor, and that is linked back to our dietary decisions, what we choose to put in our mouth. Some of us have genetic predispositions, but most of us, it's related to how we are eating and how we are moving.
Okay.
Yeah. So we really need to do better at addressing this. And so that's one of the reasons, the primary reason
why we're seeing
such increases in the younger age group.
Yeah. Now, to these women, if they come to you and they ask you, should they get pregnant, what would your answer be to those young women who have diabetes? Because again, we know that it increases the risk of complications, not only for the baby but also for the mom. And so should we discuss whether or not they should become pregnant if they have diabetes, and how?
Yes, I do believe you should have a consultation with your doctor if you're planning to get pregnant. Your doctor will go through your medical history and will advise you according to what sort of changes that you need to do. For example, diabetes can affect fertility, right?
Okay.
So infertility is a risk factor, is a consequence of uncontrolled diabetes.
Okay.
And
so it's important to have that conversation even before you decide to get pregnant.
Yes. So it depends on the patient in general for pre-diabetes, you know. If they're in good control, they've always been seeing their doctor, I think they can safely go ahead and try and get pregnant.
Okay.
But a consultation with your doctor who will manage your pregnancy may be a good idea for future planning, for expectations,
mm-hmm.
and to know the risk factors associated with your diabetes and having a baby.
From a diabetes standpoint, though, it's also really important to get the diabetes under control, because by the time the baby's organs are formed, it's already sometimes 6 weeks into the pregnancy, and diabetes is associated with the baby can develop abnormally if the blood sugars are high, and so that visit with the doctor even before you decide to get pregnant is important. And so the next thing I wanted,
may I interject?
Sure.
Let's remember there are different types of diabetics also. So we were just talking about one type, which is the pre-diabetic diabetic who gets or wants to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then pregnancy itself increases the risk of diabetes overall.
That's true.
There are predisposing factors like obesity, poor general health before that, and
polycystic ovarian syndrome.
COS, mm-hmm. polycystic ovarian syndrome. You know, there are risk factors that may be contributing, but pregnancy itself, because there is a hormonal change that occurs in pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
a hormonal change to accommodate the growing baby, to ensure that your baby can grow in the way that it needs to. And with that comes insulin changes and insulin sensitivity changes. And your risk factor related to developing diabetes later in the pregnancy is strongly related to your health before.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what we were saying about lifestyle changes and
diet and exercise.
Diet and exercise are really important.
Okay. Good. So we were talking about the different types, but I don't think we clarified. And so that's one of the things that I wanted to kind of define. In terms, we use the term gestational diabetes or diabetes in pregnancy, but now there's a we want to clarify exactly what that is, because you can have diabetes that develops in pregnancy, but you could also have diabetes before you get pregnant,
right?
Those are different types. One of the things that I've seen that's being done is that, and I would just want you to speak about this, is that, you know, how do you distinguish what sort of diabetes you have in pregnancy based on some, because sometimes you might have the diabetes, it may show up early. And so how do you distinguish or think about what type of diabetes it is based on when it shows up?
So, for example, if a patient walks into the office, right, mm-hmm. and they know their history, they have no previous history of diabetes, they've had regular medical care, and it's not been something that has come up positive on any one of their tests, then we have an idea that they may not be a diabetic. Then there are other patients who come in who haven't had regular medical care,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, we don't know. However, they have risk factors, family history of diabetes, and mother, sister, aunt. So you take into account family history.
Mm-hmm.
You take into account the patient's weight, the body mass index. How obese is this patient?
Okay.
Okay. So that is a risk factor for early testing in pregnancy.
Okay.
Okay. So we have early testing, and then we have, you know, the testing where we think that the placenta has contributed enough to some hormonal changes that we would pick up a positive diabetic screen if it were positive. And so we do that middle of the pregnancy, as opposed to in your first few weeks of pregnancy.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So they could, you could have either diabetes before the pregnancy, which could either be type 1 or type 2, but you could also develop, they're also different types, so they could also develop diabetes. You have risk factors in which you would test for early in pregnancy,
right.
But the typical screening for diabetes in pregnancy is
probably around after 24 weeks. It
24
depends on
weeks.
The physician and which exact gestation they want to choose.
Okay.
I generally would do between 26 and 28 weeks.
Okay. Okay.
Of testing or screening for diabetes.
Screening for. Mm-hmm. So, can you briefly? I know there are different screening tests for diabetes in pregnancy, but if you could just describe it to our listeners, and many of the women out there may have gone through it. Oh, but yes, if you could describe the testing for the diabetes in pregnancy.
Well, you know, we have standards and then we have standards. So again, there are different options that a physician may, a doctor may choose with regards to screening. So we just choose one of the options based on research that has been done and
okay.
results, and we pretty much stick to it. So for example, and in different countries,
mm-hmm.
Different things are done. So, but generally, we would do what we call is glucose loading.
You okay.
give you some glucose, because that's the problem. Your body cannot manage glucose if you're a diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not efficiently managing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we test you. Okay, if we give you this amount, what's your body going to do with it? Is your body going to be able to process it?
Mm-hmm.
And so we can do that by subsequently checking your blood.
Mm-hmm.
So we would draw blood after an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. It depends on the test.
So do you have to come in hungry?
Fasting.
Do you come in fasting?
Yes.
And they check your blood sugar then?
Yes.
And then they give you the glucose load?
Yes.
And then in an hour's time, they check it again?
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
And
we have a 2 hour test, and we have can do it after 2 hours. See
yeah.
how is your body processing this glucose continuously over 2-3 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. All right. So just some ideas for the women out there who maybe if they're pregnant, to many of the young women would have gone through this diabetes testing. Yes.
Dr. Jolly, as you know, also we have the hemoglobin A1C. So for those who are pre-diabetic,
yes.
we can do this specific test. I'll let you talk about it.
The A1C is done for diabetes across the board. And what it does is that it tells you what your average blood sugar is over the past 2 to 3 months. However, from my understanding, in pregnancy, because of the changes that are happening in the mom's body, then sometimes it's not a great diagnostic.
No.
Yes.
But I do use it to give me an idea as to how someone who's already diabetic, how have they been managing their sugars
before,
at home,
yes.
especially if they're on medications. And so would we anticipate a change in medication? For example, if they're already not very well managed in the first trimester.
Then
by the third trimester, I'm expecting that they will need more medication that's when the glucose insensitivity
really kicks in.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So we've spoken a lot about in terms of diet and lifestyle, and weight also plays a role into whether or not you develop diabetes in pregnancy. But you've mentioned also that pregnancy itself is also a diabetes state. So really and truly, diabetes in pregnancy. So would you say that pregnancy sort of it just brings out the diabetes that might have been, or it brings out the diabetes that might have been sort of like more like a stress for the body? So it
True, but there are also unknowns.
Why
do some people truly get diabetic in pregnancy? So yes, and so that's why we talk about risk factors. They increase your risk, and we think that there's causation, meaning that this may have caused this, which is diabetes. For example, obesity may have increased your risk of
getting diabetes
in the pregnancy. But sometimes we just can't say definitively
what is the cause. But there are a lot of different factors involved.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so far we've spoken about gestational diabetes and some of the who is likely to develop gestational diabetes. We're going to take a break right now, and then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what that means for the mom in delivery.
What juice we drinking? A better tasting juice, one with so much variety. The perfect cocktail juice, bartender, it's brand for me. So many flavors, so do me a favor. Ask children in school for their recess. What juice they drinking? We drinking brand, we drinking brand. 100% juice, everybody drinking brand. We drinking brand, we drinking brand. It's healthy and it's pure, that's why we drinking brand.
Brand juice, 100% juice, distributed by Jolly's Pharmacy Limited.
I woke up this morning feeling real stink. I had the intentions to call in sick, but I end up in Jolly's Pharmacy. Great and don't kick a street, Jolly's fix up my immune system. Got me feeling fit and strong, now I'm ready to work and take on any mission.
Whenever I'm in town and I'm feeling down, I head to Jolly's Pharmacy. They boost me up real quick. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy, brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Visit us at Jollys.dm. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Yeah, so thank you. We're back. And today I'm Dr. Jolly, and I have Dr. Karen Robinson in the studio with me, and we're talking about diabetes in pregnancy and gestational diabetes. And the, you know, why it is that some women develop diabetes in pregnancy and some do well. So Dr. Robinson, I want to talk a little bit about what does that excess sugar mean for a diabetic mother and the baby?
So for the mother, if the mother has had diabetes before pregnancy, she's at higher risk for complications within her body itself, neurologically, cardiac, so heart. And so we tend to evaluate patients like that sometimes with an EKG. So it depends on how long they've had
diabetes
before.
Okay.
and if they've had any neurological symptoms, that means potentially that long-standing diabetes or uncontrolled diabetes, renal function, how are your kidneys functioning?
Okay.
We would want to know that. So then I think for that group of moms, it's very important to get that initial consultation.
Mm-hmm.
Your doctor can do lab testing
mm-hmm.
at that point to know what's our baseline, where are we starting
so
from?
There's a lot
how
more
are your kidneys working.
So there's a lot more testing involved in
yes.
terms of a woman who has diabetes in pregnancy. Yes.
Previously.
Okay.
And then, so you can have, as I said, neurological, we would evaluate the eyes. Diabetic retinopathy
yes.
is
mm-hmm.
a significant complication.
And
so I set patients for eye exams.
Okay. Because
yeah.
then I understand that sometimes if you have eye issues in diabetes and you get pregnant, they can actually get worse during the pregnancy. Is that
That's possible because it may be related to your glucose intolerance too as you continue in the pregnancy.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There are some eye changes, visual changes that occur in pregnancy that will correct themselves.
Okay.
When you're not
after
yes.
baby's
yeah.
born.
Yeah.
Okay.
But these patients who have had diabetes before pregnancy are at high risk for many of those complications. Patients who have had diabetes diagnosed only in the pregnancy at the regular time,
mm-hmm.
so late second trimester, so 26, 28 weeks, thereabout, will have a lower risk overall of maternal complications, so complications related to the mom,
mm-hmm.
considering also that their sugars, their glucose, is better controlled, or there's not something that's been missed with regards to their pre-diabetic status.
Okay.
Like, when did they start seeing the doctor? Are we just diagnosing something now that you may have had a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it does make a difference.
Okay.
And the risk factors do vary overall based on exposure, pre-exposure to the baby. For example, if in the first trimester the baby is exposed continuously to these high levels of glucose
mm-hmm.
and insulin insensitivity, then there's a higher risk in the fetus of neurological complications,
mm-hmm.
Cardiac issues,
okay.
So heart complications, risk of overall in diabetes, for developing respiratory compromise.
Mm-hmm.
So when the baby is born, are the baby's lungs going to be mature enough?
Mm-hmm.
To
they also tend to be big babies. You always say big, like
do.
9-pound, 10-pound babies.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But although that's common, we still have the opposite, the extremes.
Oh, okay. So you could have a small baby.
So you can have a very small baby.
Okay.
Now, a very small baby is, I mean, a big baby is bad, pushing out a big baby,
mm-hmm.
and complications of respiratory, and also sudden fetal death can occur in diabetics,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's not good in and of itself. But when you have a small baby, it's saying, oh my, your placenta is really not functioning.
Oh,
it's
okay.
in a micro, more intense, if you, for lack of a better word, microvascular level where the blood flow going to the baby is compromised.
Okay.
Okay. And so the baby is not getting enough nutrients,
mm-hmm.
not getting enough oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not a good situation either.
No, if you have diabetes in pregnancy, does it mean that your baby is going to have diabetes?
Uh-huh. That's a good question. So actually the opposite happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when, well, in the future, yes.
Yeah.
There is that risk factor.
Yeah.
In the immediate,
uh-huh.
after delivery, the baby's sugar is going to be low.
Low, yes. Mm-hmm.
And the baby can have seizures
mm-hmm.
and complications with jaundice and warming of itself if you have an inability, if the baby does have an inability to regulate its own
sugar.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but in the future, yes, increased risk of obesity
mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of my sources says up to 25 years, that's significant.
Yeah. So that's one of the interesting things with diabetes is that women who have diabetes, it increases the chance of their children having diabetes. And so I think probably that's contributing to the current diabetes epidemic that, you know, we're seeing in the Caribbean, because we have several persons who have a strong family history of diabetes, and when they go on to have children, you know, the diabetes is also passed on. So I see that a lot in my office, and it's almost guaranteed that once both parents have diabetes, it's almost guaranteed that that child will develop diabetes later on in life. So that's something for us to think about, you know, as a if we are to address the chronic health conditions, one of the first things we have to address is to sort of think of preventing that mother to child transmission, if you'd like to think of it that way, and reduce the risk of, you know, getting healthy prior to pregnancy, reducing the risk of diabetes in pregnancy, so that we have a healthier population. So one of the other things that I see is that a lot of women who've had diabetes in pregnancy sometimes miss their screening or their treatment, you know, after they deliver. So if you have diabetes in pregnancy, does it mean that you're going to have diabetes or worse? Or if you didn't have, let's say you had gestational diabetes, which means that you were diagnosed with diabetes in pregnancy, does it guarantee that you have diabetes after pregnancy or worse diabetes after pregnancy?
Not necessarily, but you're more likely to get diabetes.
Yes, certainly.
In the future. And so it's important to really adhere to precautions. We keep coming back to
diet and lifestyle,
and, you know, exercise. And again, exercise doesn't mean that you have to just, you know, go to a gym necessarily. You can use what's around you. You can walk up that hill, you can walk up the stairs, and I'm really very much talking to myself right now. I worked very hard this morning, and I barely made it up a hill today. We've all got to do much better.
Yeah. So one of the other things that I think is important in terms of when we say we counsel concerning diet and lifestyle, but I want to know if you have a young lady who has diabetes in pregnancy, or you're thinking may have gestational diabetes, what are the specific dietary advices that you give?
So you're saying gestational diabetic or something?
Yes, or somebody who has diabetes.
Okay.
What do you eat?
Well, you want to eat your protein.
Uh-huh.
So do you eat meat? If you do, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are your vegetables going to be?
Okay.
Okay. And what are a good balance of what we call complex carbohydrate.
Okay.
Meaning give your body some work to do,
mm-hmm.
and stop eating the simple sugars. Sodas.
That's right.
Crackers.
The juice. The white bread.
Bread, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the yes. ground provisions are A-okay.
Well, everything in moderation.
No, everything.
They are not A-okay, but they are better than the juice,
mm-hmm.
and the crackers and so on. So we can't sit down and eat a whole plate of ground provision.
Mm-hmm. No, but you have to have, but they're okay as part of the
oh, we, yes,
the,
yes.
The, that's part
more
of the
complex.
Diet. Complex carbohydrate.
Yes, it gives okay. your body some work to do. I think the reason I'm saying it this way is that, for example, I like them. Right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you fill your plate with
ground provisions.
Yeah, and that's not good. Everything in moderation.
Oh, yeah. So it has to be, half of the plate's supposed to be vegetables. The other half, a quarter, is supposed to be where your ground provisions lie. So it's not half of the plate ground provisions.
Yes.
It's not a whole plate of ground provisions.
Thank you. Yes.
So right now it's mango season and everybody's blood sugar is high.
I had to look that up. 200 to 250 calories per mango, and it's all sugar.
Oh, really? Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes, I did. Because I had so many mangoes looking at me, staring at me in the morning, and I had to decide, do I eat four, do I eat one, do I eat two?
How many did you eat?
I can't say.
Okay, so
so it does increase your risk of glucose intolerance if you overindulge.
So what advice, like,
and
one of the things
weight gain.
Yeah. Oh, it does. Okay, one of the things that I would advise women who are pregnant and who have diabetes is that they should avoid eating fruits, particularly right now it's like mango season. You have mango, you have papaya or pawpaw, you have pineapple, particularly in the morning. So is there any guidance? How many mangoes can a pregnant woman eat safely, especially if she has diabetes in pregnancy?
Oh, I think that's a tough one, right? Because everybody's level of diabetic control
is different.
Okay. So just starting off.
So can she eat a mango?
I think you should enjoy a mango.
Okay.
I don't think you should eat a mango every day.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. And you deal a lot with dietary changes and so on. So recommendations.
So
let me know how you feel about that too. But I believe, again, everything in moderation.
In moderation.
You know it's going to spike up your sugars. So on the first day, on the second day, if you are testing yourself, you know exactly what it does to your body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's with all the foods that you eat. So regular testing of your sugars will tell you how is my body processing this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you get information, and you should use that information
to adjust
to make
your diet.
Better
choices.
Yes.
So I do agree with you, because one of the things that we, you know, a lot of folks say, okay, it's natural sugar, it's fruit sugar, so it's okay for me to have a lot of it. But the reality is that those fruits that we love, including the watermelon, the grapes, the mango and the banana, do raise the blood sugar. We have a caller, so we would like to listen to our caller. Good day. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I was listening to your talking about diet and the after effects of all the food you eat, and the problems that we have later on because we can't control our taste buds at some degree. And the more I listen to it, I watch a video with Professor Beckles speaking of the condition of the region. And I would add the black people in America and over the world, because we, most of us, tend to have bad dietary habits. And why? It's because we do more than one kind of food than the other. We love starchy, sugary food. And I'm not an expert and not a nutritionist, but I think the governments in the region need a robust health system. And I want to give praises to Jollies for the show that they do on a weekly basis to educate the people. My sisters, let me say one thing before I go. We need to learn to balance our meals. And in the region, I know we do more starches and sugar. I don't hardly ever drink juice, but if I would buy a gallon of juice, I make sure that it's 100% juice, and I water it down. If I buy 1 gallon of juice, it's going to turn to 2 gallons because I would dilute it with water because of the sugar content. If I'm eating a plate of food, I make sure I put more vegetables, green vegetables, than starchy foods, and less meat, because you have to take the initiative to feed yourself a certain way to avoid the pitfalls. Because I'm the kind of person, I would say that I will pay for it in the beginning, or I pay for it in the end. You're gonna pay for it with the disease like diabetes, high blood pressure, and things like that if you don't do the work. But if you do the work, you would not pay for it by going to the doctor and spending every penny you have. Because I listened to a professor at UWE in Mona Campus, Jamaica, And she made a statement, and it stuck with me, never left my mind. The Caribbean is not going to move forward because of our health. She said that every penny that we make in the region is going to go to us treating diabetes and high blood pressure because of our dietary habits. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. I just want to make one little clarification. It's very good that you buy juice and you buy 100% juice. But I will just extend it to say that even in pregnancy, and I advise this for all my patients, you know, those who have diabetes and those who don't have diabetes, that they try to stay away from juice. We say no sodas, but sodas and juices are classified as super sweetened beverages. And so one of the things that I've noticed is that there are very few places where you can go and get juice that is unsweetened. Everywhere you go, the juice is already sweetened. We have another caller on the line. Hello, good morning. This is Jolly's Health Vibes.
As a customer, I always appreciate Jolly Pharmacy as a Caribbean pioneer pharmacy award winner in 2016 and 2019. And the Fitness University is very beneficial because it helps the body to sweat out all the diabetic glucose. And when the sweat is gone, you can see this white substance left on the skin. That is the sugar. It is burning out. You know, and I'm more considered diabetic. I'm more considered at diabetes as a more ancient illness. You know, when the people used to make a tablet and coconut cheese on wood and the smoke used to puff it, you know, what if the activity it is which is happening into the body is well present into the environment, you know? So we have to look upon that, and it is take a man and a woman to make a child, and the cell now which is entered into the woman, it now into the liquid form, so which feed upon the woman. So the baby is likely will not get diabetes if the woman is diabetic. And we should consider our lifestyle, both hot and cool. Some people in Bacchanal and they're still in Carnival and really Jan, you know, that is very sweet, you know. So that's why the doctor tell us to abstain from certain activity, you know. Thank you very much.
Thank you, caller. So,
Dr. Jolly, I wanted to go back to the previous caller.
Sure.
We were discussing.
Yes, juice.
Okay, so in my opinion, there is zero benefit to drinking juice that is processed over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we all sell it.
Yes.
But yeah, there is zero benefit. I don't see a benefit. No matter how much calcium they tell you that's in it, how much
vitamin
C that may be in it. I mean, the glucose and the fructose in it just counteracts any of that.
Yeah, so drink water. Water, coconut water.
There you go.
So, but I just want to make the note too that even you mentioned the processed juice, but even the local juice as well.
Well, yes, know, because sorrel takes a long time, a lot of sugar. Mm-hmm. Passion fruit takes a lot of sugar. So I generally will not drink those juices with sugar in them.
Yeah,
I have conditioned my taste buds not to desire sugar, and I do the same for tea.
Very good. Yes, because it's really just sugar.
I don't make the best choices sometimes with my other foods, and I don't need that to complicate anything. I don't need to add sugar to my diet.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's another important thing, the added sugars, because I was looking up the nutrition video, and there was a lot of folks do what the first caller mentioned in terms that they add water to the sugar sweetened beverage.
It's still sugar.
Yes. So if you want to reduce the amount of sugar that's in the juice, you actually need to reduce the juice and just drink the water. So I wanted to talk a little bit. We spoke a lot about about the nutrition in terms of the diet and lifestyle to prevent diabetes in pregnancy, but also to treat it as well. But there are several women who need medications, particularly the use of insulin in order to manage their blood sugars in pregnancy. So I want you to talk a little bit about that. But one of the other things is that I also was trained to use oral medications in pregnancy, and those who have diabetes, particularly metformin. So I just want you to give a little bit of an introduction.
And some of that speaks to what one of your callers was saying regarding the economic cost.
Okay.
Right? So we have the economic cost of complications in the mother, mm-hmm. economic cost of complications in the baby, economic cost of hospitalizations.
Yes.
And now we're on to medications.
That's right. Okay? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So it's the cost of diabetes is significant. And I was just reading, in Trinidad and Tobago and Barbados, it costs about $577 per person annually, just in drugs, consultation, seeing your doctor, and hospitalization.
Uh-huh.
If you add that up to the millions in the Caribbean that yeah. have diabetes, that is a humongous cost mm-hmm. for all of us. Not only that, and future health costs.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
How long
lot.
Are we going to live, and the quality of life?
Yes.
All right. So I was not avoiding your question, okay. although I'd like to.
Okay.
So let's go to the treatment.
Just a little bit about what women can expect as far as offers for treatment. I know we use a lot of insulin, and that has been traditionally used mm-hmm. in pregnancy mm-hmm. to help control the blood sugars. But there has been an increasing movement towards using oral medications as well. I'm not too sure is that because of cost, but I know it's definitely safe. It's effective. It's safe.
Yes, and so, as I've practiced, I've used a combination of patient dependent oral medications, so metformin and the other ones like glyburide.
Okay? Yes. Uh-huh.
For a while, we thought that we probably shouldn't use it, but we now know and we have more information about both of them. I mean, we've always used metformin in my practice. So there have been no significant adverse effects on
the baby
in general.
If you ever use.
Yes. So, you compare that to diabetes itself and the management mm-hmm. of and control of the sugars.
Okay.
Yes. There are risks to any medications. Sometimes they're not tolerated
mm-hmm.
By patients.
Metformin causes the upset stomach and yeah. the diarrhea. Yeah. Yes.
So sometimes they're not tolerated by the patient. So you deal with patients as an individual. Insulin is an excellent medication. It also can complicate patients who are not compliant. So you have to know your patient too.
Mm-hmm.
And placing individual patients on one or the other of the medications also depends on what are the previous use of medications.
Yes.
So if medications can be used in pregnancy, I generally would not change them unless they prove
that they're not as effective.
They're not working anymore in the pregnancy.
Okay.
Then we'd add insulin.
Okay.
You can go straight to insulin if you have a newly diagnosed diabetic early in the pregnancy who's way up there in the charts. Mm-hmm. So it depends on what's going on with the patient.
Okay.
Yes. But oral medications are a useful new tool. Well, it's not new. I mean, I've been using it for almost 20 years in pregnancy.
Okay. But I think it's new, relatively new to the Caribbean.
Okay. So there are options definitely for treatment depending on patient condition. And I think a lot of times we have to consider environments of patients, right? In the, what do they have access to?
Yes.
Their knowledge base. Sometimes mm-hmm. when we choose various medications, insulin can turn into a dangerous medication at times.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So really have to get to know the patient.
I think one of the things that, in terms now in the present situation, in terms of the COVID environment, one of the things that women who are pregnant or plan to become pregnant have been concerned about has been getting a COVID vaccine. We have another caller on the line. We will. Good morning, caller. We you're on Jolly's Health Vibes. Hello? Oh, hello? The caller is gone. Okay. So we'll go back to our question concerning the use, because there's been a concern about getting the COVID vaccine, especially because now there's so much that is unknown, but at the same time, it's such a risky time. Do you have any advice or tips as far as deciding to get a COVID-19 vaccine? What do you tell your patients, you know, as far as getting a COVID-19 vaccine, if they're planning to become pregnant or if they are already pregnant? And especially diabetes is a risk factor for more severe COVID. And so, you know, what advice do you give?
Well, if you're planning to get pregnant, I absolutely recommend that you get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Months and months in advance of pregnancy. I don't have any data, and I don't believe there's any data out there regarding, its long-term effect on pregnancy. So, but if we use the same standard that we use for certain vaccines,
mm-hmm.
We would say a few, 3 months, 6 months, prior to pregnancy, you should get vaccinated. In the middle of a pandemic, you should absolutely get vaccinated if you're planning to get pregnant.
If
you're already pregnant, you should sit down with your doctor and have a discussion. Where are you in the pregnancy? Okay. Are you in the first trimester?
Mm-hmm.
Are you in the second trimester? Are you in your third trimester? I'll tell you, the general recommendation from the major bodies is to get vaccinated. But I think a discussion is warranted with the patient. Let's talk about your exposures. Are you at home? Are you at work? What are your exposures? What are your risks
mm-hmm.
of getting, what's your environment like?
Okay.
So while I would like to tell you absolutely get vaccinated, I think it's really down to a discussion about total risk factors. If you're not pregnant, please get vaccinated.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's good. So we're going to take our last break and then we'll come back with our final and closing comments.
What juice we drinking? A better tasting juice, one with so much variety. The perfect cocktail juice, bartender, it's prime for me. So many flavors, so do me a favor. Ask children in school for the recess. What juice they drinking? We drinking Bran, we drinking Bran. 100% juice, everybody drinking Bran. We drinking Bran, we drinking Bran. It's healthy and it's pure, that's why we drinking Bran.
Bran juice, 100% juice, distributed by Jolly's Pharmacy Limited.
I woke up this morning feeling real stink. I had temptations to call in sick, but I end up in Jolly's Pharmacy. Great and don't think I should. Jolly's fix up my immune system. Have me feeling fit and strong, now I'm ready to work and take on any mission.
Whenever I'm in town and I'm feeling down, I head to Jolly's Pharmacy. They boost me up real quick. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy, brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. www.jollys.dm. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
All right, and we welcome you back to Jolly's Health Vibes. And today we have been talking about diabetes in pregnancy, including gestational diabetes. We have gone through, who's at risk for diabetes in pregnancy? What are some of the things that a diabetic mother would expect during the pregnancy in terms of testing and monitoring, and what are some of the possible complications that could happen with diabetes in pregnancy. We've spoken extensively about, back to the diet and the lifestyle in terms of prevention, and also part of the treatment of diabetes in pregnancy. We'd like to invite Dr. Robinson to speak about some of the interventions, some of the things that happen, that could possibly happen, or that need to happen during a diabetic pregnancy.
Okay, so interventions during the pregnancy. First start with the patient, right? We all have to take personal responsibility for our health, and that with that comes regular testing. You need to be aware of what glucose is doing in your body, and testing gives you an insight to that. And your doctor will review where does your glucose level need to be during the pregnancy, which may be different from pre-pregnancy if you're already diabetic, because now we have the fetus to consider. And the fetus needs a certain environment to flourish. So you need to know what those numbers are recommended by your doctor, what they should be. And when you test, you need to adjust your lifestyle, your diet, accordingly. And if you need medication intervention or already on medication, you need a change, those numbers need to be reported to your doctor. I used to do a weekly basis report, so it depends on where you are in the pregnancy and how often your doctor wants to see you. It's important to know what those numbers are fairly regularly so you can intervene as soon as possible. It affects fetal growth. Remember, we said babies can grow too small, they can grow too large, which is not common. And larger babies do have risk of, I don't think we mentioned, the shoulder distortion.
Oh, yeah.
Where they get stuck. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so, they could be too big to come out.
Yeah. And, the rest of the body might be fine, but the fat, when there's insulin resistance in the diabetic, babies tend to develop this, like, fat pad around the shoulders and neck.
Okay.
Yeah. So that area.
So that's
is
why
bigger.
They always get. That's why they always get stuck.
And
but the rest
abdomen
of the body,
can be too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's why we have. We have big babies, and then it increases the chance of having a C-section because the baby's just so big.
Well, first we don't want to get into that situation because that's an obstetric nightmare.
Okay.
Okay. Because we have to do all kinds of maneuvers to try and get your baby out. Your baby can suffer a neurological injury. You can suffer permanent disability with regards to your bowel, your bladder, your nervous tissue.
From having to push out a big baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it also increases your risk of C-section delivery. Okay. So if your baby's determined to be too large,
mm-hmm.
Let's say we do ultrasounds. So intervention, we do ultrasounds to determine fetal growth. So if you're diagnosed during the pregnancy, we do growth ultrasounds.
Okay.
Meaning, how is your baby growing over a period of time?
Okay.
If you have already had diabetes, although we do what we call the initial anatomy scan around 18 weeks.
Mm-hmm. The ultrasound, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the ultrasound. We look at the brain, the heart, the lung, the bones, how they're developed. We also want to be careful about the heart development of a baby who's been chronically, whose mom has already come in being pregnant with high sugars.
Okay.
So babies in that environment can develop cardiac abnormalities, meaning the baby's heart does not develop as it should. You can have complications. It can result in sudden death in mom.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons. That's not the only reason.
Okay.
That can happen regardless of any diabetic.
Okay.
Okay. And it's a very, very sad situation.
Mm-hmm.
And control of your sugars is important.
So we just want to thank you, Dr. Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to wrap up. because what we're seeing that basically, you know, this diabetes and pregnancy thing is just really not a good thing for anybody. It's not good for the mom. It's not good for the baby. So we're just going to say our final thoughts on how do we prevent these things from happening? And I think it goes back to diet and lifestyle. Am I right?
Yes, but remember also, you know, you can do everything as best as you can. You do have family history, you do have genetic predisposition that we can't quite explain. Mm-hmm. And remember also that the pregnancy itself, that placental production and change in hormones increases your risk
of diabetes
overall.
Okay,
so while you may have done everything you can, once you are diagnosed, early diagnosis is important.
So get
the question
diagnosed
is
early.
Now mm-hmm. after that, what do you do about it? And how do you keep your baby safe?
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you have to make sure you keep your doctor's appointments, you take any medications that are prescribed, and do as much as you can on the diet and lifestyle front. So we just want to wrap up today's show. So we spoke about diabetes in pregnancy. We are very thankful and grateful to have Dr. Robinson here with us today to do this show. And I think it was really good in terms of I learned a lot. I come in wanting to learn a lot, and I hope our listeners also learned a lot about diabetes in pregnancy, what it means, and the importance of taking care of it, because it has significant risk not just for the mom but also for the baby. We also want to just remind you about the different activities that are coming up over the weekend, as far as the cardio jam and the sales, the free shipping, the bone clinic, the skin clinic, and all of these. I think they're on the Facebook page of Jolly's. And so if there is anything that Carlton said that you forgot, then you can check the Facebook page of Jolly's to remind yourself about where and when and what time all these customer appreciation weekend activities are occurring. So we just want to thank all our listeners out there for hanging in with us and with the show. We hope that you learned a lot and you took away something concerning diabetes in general and diabetes in pregnancy. Thank you.